Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Sure did. This is Savage Nation. Now, what do you think I'm going to talk about? You're all waiting to see what I'm going to talk about. I decided 30 seconds ago I'm going to talk about eating, and I'll tell you why it has... Now, hold on. Don't turn the dial so quickly. I've noticed that because of the stress I'm under, because of the insane president we have, who is doing fundraising while the world burns, they don't let a pregnant woman go to a hospital to cross in front of the great man's limousine. She has to sit at a bus stop in L.A. Even liberals are bailing on this administration. It's terrible. I mean, war in the Middle East, he's raising money. Egypt, he's raising money. Plane goes down, he's golfing. It's so bad that it's altering my diet. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. For example, you know that I wrote books on nutrition. You know that's my obsession. I don't want to die young of a heart attack. So I've been on a low-fat diet my whole life, but the news is so bad that I just had sweetbreads for lunch. Now, sweetbreads are one of the highest cholesterol foods there are. They're also great for the brain. You know what the sweetbreads are. They're the thymus gland, stuff my mother ate. What did she know about food and diet? She only lived to 88. No, the guys who live to 35 and die of from running heart attacks, they know more about diet. The skateboarders do. But the fact of the matter is, I ate that because I don't care anymore. In other words, I'm drinking a little bit more than normal. I'll be honest with you. I'm eating richer foods. I'll be honest with you. Last night, late at night, I'm eating later, by the way, and I'm eating meat, and I'm drinking more alcohol, because the stress is great. I mean, the Muslim sisterhood is so out of control, they're naked about it, supporting Hamas, giving back weapons, saying they didn't do it. I mean, the Muslim sisterhood in America has imposed sanctions on Russia and Israel, as you know. Originally, they canceled all flights to Israel, so-called, for the safety of the passengers. I pointed that out before anyone else. And by the way, I take my hat off to Mayor Soderbergh. That Bloomberg would fly there in the midst of this gave me a new respect. If only the guy would continue to be, let us say, dignified and talk about stately things instead of soda, I would respect him even more. But nevertheless, that's what's going on. The Muslim sisterhood seems to be running America. And if you talk about the shoot down of the plane, we have still not gotten the tapes of air traffic control. They will not release them. And the only thing that will put to rest the conspiracy theories ranging all over the Middle East and all over America amongst intellectual circles, by the way. I'm not talking about the average moron out there. I'm talking about people who know what's going on, fighter pilots who fly in the Middle East. I'm getting a little, let us say, I can't tell you who I got this from. This is from a fighter pilot who flies in the Ukraine in that area, and I'll read you what he wrote. He says, I have followed the whole conflict from day one when the Russians took over blank air base. The bottom line is this. Ukraine has resources and the U.S. wants them. And it's also useful to push the NATO borders right up to Russia as it negates the natural barrier of the Carpathian mountain range. See a map and you realize how hard it would be for NATO to roll a ground war out of present borders. Putin is not the bad guy here, he writes. Yes, he was set up to some extent, but he is playing his chess game very well. He writes, I predict he will enter East Ukraine on humanitarian grounds, as it's unacceptable for the illegal Kiev fascists, this guy says that's what they are, period, to simply shell Donetsk City and cause mass casualties. MH17 was a clear false flag, he writes. And he says, I have tons of intelligence on this, but I cannot release any of it. The U.S. and NATO are trying to kickstart a major war to weaken Russia's economy, and Putin will not take the bait. I could go on, he writes, but better one ignores the amateur propaganda of the U.S. MSM and even most U.K. and EU MSM. You want me to continue? Because here it is. There is a huge turmoil in the upper elite power structure as it gets reorganized. This trickles down to what we see in ME, etc. Expect a series of false flag attacks in various European zones and the U.S. as they see the destabilization and divide any organized groups. One does not have to be a conspiracy nut to see that this is all engineered and pre-planned. What they did not count on is the speed of visual evidence getting posted into cyberspace via Twitter, FB, blogs, etc., and screwing up their fabrications. Crazy times and blood in the streets for sure. I am not taking sides here, as this is way above my pay grade, and I'll stop right there. And that's why I'm eating more and drinking more and eating later. Lin Yutang wrote years ago, it's better to eat late than to eat meat, and I lived like that for many years when I was struggling, when I was a struggling young genius and locked out of what I wanted because I was unfortunately born a white man. I was unhirable in my chosen field. But so I learned to do other things, and I did what I had to do. But the point was I learned to eat late rather than to eat meat. Now I'm learning to eat late and eat meat. And it's not so bad, to tell you the truth. I have no questions for you except this one. Should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire, yes or no? 855-407-282. Should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire, yes or no? Now, the Iran supreme bugaboo, whatever his name is, he's very deceptive. He looks like a nice guy. Looks like if Woody Allen were a rabbi, he'd look like Iran's supreme leader when you think about it. I always get, if I look at Ayatollah Al-Khamenei, I sometimes think it's Woody Allen pretending to be a Hasid in one of his movies. But no, it isn't. It's Iran's maniacal Nazi leader, Ayatollah Al-Khamenei. And he said the only solution for the region is the destruction of Israel and that the armed confrontation must expand beyond Gaza. Did you hear this? Fars New Agency, a media outlet run by the Iranian fascists, reported today that Khamenei addressed the conflict in Gaza in a meeting with Iranian college students. And he said the only solution for Israel is its destruction. He says, however, until that time, the expansion of the armed resistance of the Palestinians, blah, 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 blah. So there it is. There's a religious leader calling for World War III. That's all. Should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire? I think that's a fair question. I think it's a very fair question. And I think it's something that will provoke conversation on the Savage Nation. I have some wonderful sound for you, including the warmonger maniac McCain looking to start World War III like Khomeini in clip 3. Let's play clip 3 of John McCain.
First of all, we should lead on sector sanctions. Second of all, I should be saying exactly what I just told you, that this is the fault of Vladimir Putin, and Vladimir Putin will be held responsible. That should be his opening comment, instead of, well, maybe they have to clear it up.
So even though the U.S. government says there's no evidence that Russia shot down the Malaysian airplane, this lunatic, he's a front for the military-industrial complex, if he even knows what he's doing. I'm not sure that McCain is sane, number one. I mean, I'm talking the truth to you. I'm giving you one man's opinion. I personally think he's as deranged as they come. I think he's crazy. That's number one. I think someone gives him scripts like the Manchurian Candidate to read. I don't know who that would be. I can only guess those who would benefit from a war would be only one group. That would be the military-industrial complex. It's that simple. And to explain everything he's been doing. He could also be, in my opinion, brainwashed by the Muslim Sisterhood. That would explain what he's been doing ever since he went to Egypt and tried to maintain control by the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt against the will of the Egyptian people. So it's possible John McCain is either completely brainwashed, as in the movie The Manchurian Candidate, or stupid, or in the pay of several organizations, because for a U.S. senator to keep banging the war drums like this is insane, totally insane. So now listen to the rest of this, clips 14 and 15 from Insane McCain on the Savage Nation.
Senator,
they have to clear it up because they caused it. And so the point here is that Vladimir Putin is literally getting away with murder. And I mean literally, and we are doing very little in response. The next thing we ought to do too, by the way, give weapons to the Ukraine so that Ukrainians so they can defend themselves. You know, people are stunned when I tell them we have refused to give Ukrainians weapons to defend themselves while their country is being dismembered and invaded.
Now, if I wake up tomorrow and John McCain says we should give jet planes to Palestinians in Gaza, I wouldn't be surprised. Because he could say that we are refusing to give the Palestinians weapons to defend themselves while their country is being dismembered and invaded. I'd be the same token. And it would be good for business when you think about it. Think of all the contracts from McDonnell Douglas and, you know, I mean, there'd be a lot of money in it for whoever he works for. So it's a crazy world, and that's why I said to you it's affecting me personally. I'm eating later and I'm eating more. I'm eating later and eating more meat. I'm drinking more and I'm sleeping more. No, actually getting up earlier. I can't wait to get up. The news is so shocking. I'm afraid to turn the computer on. You know, it's like a love-hate relationship. I get up early, like 6:30. First sun, I have blackout shades, but the first light comes through anyway. You can't help it. The cycle, right? Like, you get up. da-da-da-da, walk over. It's like a live-work space that I'm in. I live like in a loft. I live in a loft, a live-work space, refrigerator, stove, toilet, microphone, screen, bed. It's all within the realm of each other. It's unbelievable because it's all interconnected. That's why I talk about food. I've not yet gone to the scatological, and I don't intend to. I'm not Howard Stern. But nevertheless, it's all interconnected between food and politics. Get up. I try to fight not to turn the computer on and go on the Drudge Report, which I do every morning, by the way. It's my source of news. And I say, oh, God, I hope nothing horrible happened. I do. I say, I don't know what's going to happen now. And there he is. There's Doofus in a bulletproof limousine. Alfred E. Newman is sitting in a bulletproof limousine looking out. And a pregnant woman is forced to sit on a curb. She can't get to the hospital. I said, all right, at least no one died. Unless, God forbid, she had a problem at the bus stop. Why wouldn't the Secret Service have walked her across the street to a hospital? Are we living in a dictatorship? This is something you would see in an absolute fascist dictatorship, that the Secret Service is so crazy that they wouldn't let a pregnant woman walk across the street in L.A. to go to a hospital to give birth. What kind of country are we living in? Even the press is starting to balk. The geldings in the press are starting to say, well, wait a minute, this is supposed to be an open administration. How come we couldn't go to the fundraiser at the Four Seasons in San Francisco? How come they kept us out of the billionaire's house in Los Altos? Well, we're the press. We fly with them. You're not the press. You're Pravda. You're Izvestia. You're a state-run organization. Get used to it. Grow up. Understand who you work for. You don't work for NBC. You don't work for ABC. You don't work for CNN. You work for the White House. Make it clear in your own head who you work for. You're a member of the government media complex. It's that simple. Question. Should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire? That's the first question on the Savage Nation. And we'll get to the other stuff, by the way. What time is it already? It's 12:17. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Let's face it, Israel's involved in a war. This is no longer an incursion. This is an absolute war. Now, it is, in a way, a one-sided war. Let's be clear. I mean, let's not, pretend it isn't. They have an air force. They have tanks. The progenitors of the war are the Palestinians, as you well know. You say, oh, they're only defending. You can say what you want. They've been firing rockets into a sovereign nation. There's only so long a nation can take it until they have to fight back. So they're hitting with almost everything they have. Not everything, by the way, that they have. And they are killing because of various reasons. Civilians are getting killed. Some because they're in the way of fire. Some because they're hidden by the Palestinians. Some accidentally being killed, but the number of civilians being killed are pretty high, incidentally. So don't be so sanguine about it and say, no, they shouldn't agree to a ceasefire. Now, there should be terms for a ceasefire, in my opinion. The number one term is that Egypt goes in and cleans out the rockets and blows up the underground tunnels. That would be the only terms upon which Israel can accept a ceasefire. It would be clear. The Palestinians do not want a ceasefire. Yes, they go on MS Most Naughty Nonsense by Chicks and say that they want a ceasefire, but they've turned it down every time. Listen, for example, to clip, I think it's clip 11. I hope I get it right. PLO tells MSNBC. It's, what clip is that one? Clip number 12. Let's go to clip 12. All my numbers are wrong. Yeah. Let's go to clip 12 and listen to this one on the Savage Nation.
I think there are intensive efforts being undertaken right now by different parties, including President Abbas, in coordination with the Secretary of State, Egypt, and other regional players. Israel has intensified its attacks against the Gaza Strip over the last week. So far, 735 Palestinians have been killed, 4,500 wounded, including 160 children, 90 women, elderly. 82% of the casualties are civilians. So Israeli actions and excessive use of force is not contributing positively to the efforts to reach a ceasefire.
All right, so let's say it's lower than that in the numbers. The fact of the matter is there's a war going on. And the way to stop the war is for the Palestinians to say they'll cease the rocket fire and give up their weapons and they'll come to the negotiating table, but they're unwilling to do that. So when I say to you, should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire, I didn't say give up. I mean, immediate ceasefire with terms. How long can this go on? How many civilians can? How many civilians dying would be a point at which they have to stop anyway? I mean, there's going to come a point at which they're just going to have to stop, no matter what you may think. And that's what's going to happen. And no matter what you may think, the world being as distorted as it is, the world being as hateful of the United States and Israel and of Jewish people in general, is already, no matter what Israel does, they're wrong. Defend themselves, they're wrong. Not defend themselves, they're wrong. So they can't win. So they have to make these determinations for themselves. The question is, would Egypt go in, send in their men, to take out the rocket launching sites, remove the rockets, and blow up the underground city that they built? This is very much, by what I'm reading, equivalent to what the North Vietnamese built in Vietnam. I don't know who advised them on this, but apparently they have an entire underground city ranging from Gaza through to Israel under the sand. And it's very much like the tunnel war in Vietnam, by what I'm reading. And in order to get rid of that ants nest down there, you have to blow up the tunnels. And unless they do that, they're only going to be back tomorrow, you know. Cleveland, Ohio. Bob, what do you think? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I just wonder if – I look at all the developments in the world right now, and I wonder if God is going on the other side, is taking the side of the Muslims.
I've thought about – Bob, guess what? I've thought about that as well. It's entered my mind because I'm a free thinker. And I said, yes, although they're cutting the private parts off women, although they're turning women back into slaves around the world, although they're blowing up churches, although they're taking Christians hostages, and they're the most throwback of all people on the planet today, why are they allowed to be winning? Why are the Christians not organized against them? You have to ask yourself, where is God? Is God dead? Or did God get tired and leave this planet? But you think God took the side of Islam?
Look at how dependent we've become on oil and how the... Like the Saudis, I mean,
That's right. Well, the Muslims.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
With these two to three, Hot Talk 560.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm asking a very provocative question. I know where most people are going to come down on it, but I'm open to opinion. Should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire with terms? I'm sure they'd like it. They've asked for a ceasefire, and the Palestinians have said no, and they answer with rockets. But at some point, this has to stop. Now, what bothers me is that the Islamists seem to want blood. What bothers me is that if you look at what the Islamists are doing in Iraq, after our boys left, a great sacrifice of blood, and Obama, because of his cowardly international stances, opened Iraq up to this toxin of Islamism entered. They're blowing up churches that have been there for 1,800 years. Every church in America this Sunday, if they don't talk about what's being done to Christians, you should leave that church. If your priest mumbo-jumbos you about social justice and Mexican children or Guatemalan children, walk out of that church. Because the only way to save Christianity itself is if every church in the world starts to talk about this with its parishioners and tells them that they are being attacked around the world, then you will have a chance of survival. Otherwise, the prognosis is quite poor. It's that simple. Make no mistake about it. They're not going to stop. They never have stopped. Something you don't understand because you've been brainwashed or you don't have the education or you care about it. You hear about the Crusades and you think it was Christians, but you don't know that the first Crusade was Islamic. Crusade 1 were Muslims taking over countries. Crusade 2 were the Christians and the counter-crusade to take back Jerusalem from the Muslims. But you don't know that because your textbooks warped history. You are witnessing an Islamic crusade around the world right now, from Nigeria to Somalia to Iraq to Israel. Even in our own country, there's a silent crusade right now. That's how they begin. Their front groups don't fight with guns. They use the Trojan horse methods. They know how to do it. They start with humanitarianism, and then they start with racism. They know the game. They've been advised by some of the biggest race hustlers in the world. They know how to play the game. And so be very cautious, because this ends badly. It does not end with them wanting peace with their neighbors. It has never ended with them wanting peace with their neighbors. They only want war. And there's another element to this that you don't know. and I pointed it out on Monday. This is the first, the reason Israel has not stopped, which you don't know, there's a reason for this. This is the first time in Israel's history that they have powerful Arab allies on their side. This is something the average American doesn't quite get, or else this war would have been over already. It would never have gone on this long. Egypt is on its side. Saudi Arabia is on its side. UAE is on its side, because they are as threatened by these fanatic maniacs as we are. Do you understand that? They want Israel to do their dirty work. Now, the real way to end this would be for the Saudis, the Egyptians, and the troops of Saudi Arabia and Egypt to join the Israelis and invade Gaza from the other sides and do what needs to be done and end it. It's that simple. Then they can't keep blaming Israel. Unless Egypt enters the fray, the Jews will continue to be blamed for being mass murderers and bloodthirsty and this and that. But the question to you is, in a simplistic manner, should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire? It's that simple. WJR, Tom, your opinion. Go ahead, please.
Doctor, under no circumstances should Israel stop what they're doing. As a matter of fact, what they should do for the first time is drive the Palestinians out of the Gaza Strip, bomb them unmercifully until they surrender unconditionally, because that's the only thing that stopped Japan.
So are you saying you'd like to see a Dresden? You'd like to see Gaza City firebombed?
Doctor, the Japanese stopped because they were firebombed.
No, I know you listened to Rush Limbaugh, who became a genius, I know, overnight. He suddenly discovered World War II history. I get it. But, I mean, that's what you want to see, Dresden?
Stop, Doctor, until they're devastated and controlled.
Well, then, by following your reasoning, why doesn't Israel just launch a nuclear weapon on Gaza? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that's out of
Well, no, you just said they should devastate everyone in Gaza to make them surrender. That's what you are saying.
No, Doctor, what I'm saying is Israel has the tools to drive them out of Gaza, level the underground tunnels, like you said, and punish them to the point where they're unmercifully so that they surrender unconditionally.
Well, it sounds like, you know, this is loose talk that it cannot happen. You're not saying commit genocide, are you? I mean, the Islamists are committing genocide in Iraq right now by killing and driving Christians out. You know that, don't you?
They're being funded by ISIS or by Saudi Arabia.
ISIS is committing genocide right now against Christians in Iraq, and yet you don't hear one word of Ban Moon, Waka Baka Hunu, Ban, whatever his name is. They ought to ban from the UN, whatever his name is, another useless tool of somebody. Why does he say nothing about the genocide against Christians in Iraq?
We can't stop genocide anywhere. We haven't stopped it from the Hutus and the Tutsis. We haven't attempted to do that. The point is that part of the world attacked us on September 11th, and they have never dealt with what Germany and Japan dealt with, unconditional surrender. And the only way they're going to learn is to pummel them to the point where they unconditionally quit. And that's the only...
Wait. If you're talking about they, who is they? Because you're going to draw Iran into the fray. Are you talking about nuking Tehran as well?
I'm not talking about nuking anybody. I'm talking about...
What do you mean then? Israel can't invade Iran because that's what's going to happen. If Israel went into the mode of firebombing Gaza City, which is what you're suggesting, to force the other side to give up, in essence, unconditionally, Iran would step in at that point.
What I'm suggesting is let Saudi Arabia, who's Sunni, and Iran, who's Shiite, fight it out in a region-wide war where Russia, China, and the United States can finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Doctor, I got a conspiracy theory if you're interested on the plane.
Oh, why not? I'm digesting my sweetbreads. Let's have a sweet conspiracy theory.
What if our good friend Jacob Rothschild, who inherited the patents on the patent semiconductors for the new radar systems that were supposed to come out around the world, managed to somehow take out the people, the 20 members of that company, and the four inventors on that first plane that disappeared from Malaysia? And what if the plane that was shot down over Russia was that missing plane?
No, please, let's not get... You know, there's a word for it. In any language, this is called crazy talk. Now you're telling me the missing Malaysian plane that went down in the ocean was really flown somewhere and there was a fake plane that flew from Amsterdam, right? Tell that to the people who are crying in Holland right now because their children were on it. Come on, that should end that kind of conspiracy talk. Here's an email about why the world is in a state it's in. It was sent to me by someone just now, by the guys. It says, Savage, God gave us dominion over the world. You seem to have forgotten that. If God is not in the world anymore, it is because man isn't allowing him to be here. If Satan has gained a controlling share in the world, it is because man gave it to him. If you believe in the Old Testament and you believe in God, why do you not believe he gave man dominion over the world? And then if you do believe God gave man dominion over the world, why do you assign the responsibility for the acts of men to God? Because we were answering that question of did God abandon, is God on the side of the Muslims? That's a response to that, I guess, from a very Christian listener who sent that in. And we get back to the God talk. And by the way, don't exclude it. You can say, no, this is all about politics. It's not about God. Well, it's a mixture of things. When has religion not been involved in acquisition? When has religion not been about territory and controlling people through its doxies? The answer is never. So if you were to say Islam seems to be favored by God right now because of numbers, you wouldn't be 100% correct either, because there are about 1 billion Muslims and about 1 billion Christians. The difference is that the Muslims have a fanatical element to them that is at war with the rest of the world, while the Christians are only teaching turn the other cheek. It's that simple. There is not one, so far as I can say, sect of Christianity that is engaged in a warlike rhetoric to begin with. There's no rhetoric coming out of the Christian church to do with survival or war. None. It seems to be antiquated mumbo-jumbo, turning people into patsies to most people who look at it. And if a religion no longer gives you the capacity to defend yourself, that religion will eventually die out. You need a religion that is strong enough to defend the people and teach them how to defend themselves. That doesn't mean you have to become bloodthirsty. Not at all. There's enough blood running in the streets of the world right now. And we need someone to calm this down, not to antagonize others. So for McCain to go around and say, Russia did it, Putin's getting away with murder, we got to arm the Ukrainians, what does he want to do? He wants to start a shooting war. That's not good. Don't confuse what I am saying with wanting to start a war. It's the exact opposite. I would like to see the war in Gaza stopped yesterday. Can it be done so? Only, in my opinion, if Egypt agrees to go in on the other side of Gaza and seize the tunnels, seize the weapons, blow up the tunnels, and call it a day. Then it will end. It can't end until then. Israel will not stop. They will not stop. They're going to keep going. Whether you want them to stop, they're not going to stop. They're on a path right now to create a one-mile barrier between themselves and those firing rockets into their cities. They're going to clean out that whole area going a mile from their border. So you can look backwards, you can look forward, you can look to the Bible. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, it comes down to realpolitik, and the realpolitik is going to rule. So, I mean, the primary functional question today, the operational question is, should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire? The answer is, with conditions, yes. I'm sure they would. But I don't think Hamas will agree. It's as simple as that. WMAL, Richard in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Sir, no to a ceasefire.
Okay, but why?
Because they'll never quit. This thing of Islam, it's some sort of a blood hate cult. They will never quit. If Israel stops, if they don't finish this job and do it quickly, they're going to regret it. We're going to regret it around the world.
Well, we didn't finish the job in Iraq, and look what happened.
Yeah, you know, I just seen something on the computer about genital mutilation. They're going to start butchering their women
there. That's right. The good, nice practitioners of the religion of peace who took over Mosul and the Sunni Triangle, driven out with blood by our Marines, at great cost to our Marines. The first thing they're going to do, in addition to stealing and robbing and breaking into banks, is they're going to cripple women. Every Muslim woman between the ages of 14 and 43 has to have their genitals mutilated. How could the world not see what is going on in front of their eyes? Where are the feminists in America? Can you tell me why the left-wing feminists in America are silent on the call for genital mutilation in Iraq by their Muslim friends?
Because it's a real fight.
No. Why do the feminists who have attacked conservatives say nothing about the jihadis ordering women in Iraqi city to undergo genital mutilation. Why are they silent?
I don't know, sir. I will
tell you why, because feminists only attack weak targets. Feminists only attack targets that can't hurt them. They have never said one word about a genital mutilation, so far as I can tell. Here's a news story. As the Islamic State took control of Mosul, thousands fled the city, many ending up in a temporary displacement camp in Qazir, Iraq. An extreme militant group ordered all girls and women to undergo genital mutilation in the Iraqi city of Mosul, the United Nations said today. The demand by the Islamic State could affect 4 million females within the region. 4 million females. Are you listening to this? The so-called fatwa said all women aged 11 to 46 should have the medical ritual done, as it is believed to help prepare them for adulthood. But often this procedure leaves women susceptible to severe bleeding, infections, infertility, and even death. Do you know what genital mutilation consists of? Do you have any idea what this does to a girl? Do you have any idea that this is a barbaric act that should have been banned on the planet, and anyone who commits it should be executed? But no. The Islamic militants who took control of Mosul in June, and they said they're going to create a caliphate, which is an Islamic state led by religious leaders from Iraq to Syria. Now, the UN passed a resolution in December of 12 that banned the practice for all member states, but the UN is doing nothing about this call to genitally mutilate all women in a city conquered by these radical Islamists. And they do the same thing in your city if they could. If they had the power, they would do it to your women. They'll do it wherever they can. So what is the end of all of this? I don't have an answer for you. All I know is Israel's fighting for its life. That's all I know. They're fighting for their life and not ready to go back into the concentration camps and die a little cowardly death. WMAL, Ricardo, your opinion, please. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, absolutely not. Israel should not stop doing what they're doing right now. Hamas and the Palestinians, they're a bunch of cowards, placing all their armaments around hospitals, schools, populated areas. Israel has to do what they have to do. Another thing, there will be a day when all nations turn their back on Israel, and that's going to be a very sad day, but it's coming. And right now, the United States of America seems to be heading in that direction, and it's a very, very sad time for the United States of America.
Okay, my friend, here's the interesting paradox, and it's an irony that's sickening, that I have to express because I've done so in part over the years on the Savage Nation. I'm running short of time. When I come back, I will tell you the most heartbreaking story in the world. It is that Israel's best friend in America are the fundamentalist Christians, and yet liberal Jews in America do not return the favor. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It's a world at war. Radical Islam is on the march around the world, and the only people who don't seem to know it are in the White House. Israel found an additional sophisticated series of tunnels underneath the Gaza Strip that will just shock you. If you look at them, they were constructed. When you say tunnel, you think of a rat digging a tunnel in sand, right? These are big enough to drive a truck through. They were constructed using concrete blocks with electricity and sewage channels. They were designed for Hamas terrorists to remain inside for long periods of time. It's an underground city. Meanwhile, latest news, Hamas resists Kerry's bid for ceasefire deal amid heavy fighting in Gaza. Did you hear this? This is what's going on. Question of the day. Should Israel agree to a ceasefire? Yes or no? Did God abandon America, or did we abandon God?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So Barack Obama has raised the white flag to radical Islam. And I'm not kidding. He's raised the white flag wherever you turn. He seems to be on the wrong side of history, or from his perspective, he's on the right side of history. Whether it was in Egypt, where he was on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood, or in Syria, where he's again on the side of the maniacs in ISIS, are the same as those in the amongst the rebels in Syria. I mean, put two and two together. What explains it? Has he raised the white flag, or is it the four horsewomen of the apocalypse? Or, as I affectionately say, is it the Muslim sisterhood inside the White House? Welcome to the Savage Nation Hour 2. And the question is, should Israel agree to a ceasefire? And why? Now, my position was stated in the last hour. Yes, they should agree to a ceasefire with immediate conditions, which is the Palestinians must give up their rockets and they must permit an international force to blow up the tunnels. You know they're never going to do it. Fanatics don't do that. They're not. It's not in their DNA. They're not. So what's, it's almost a moot point. My question is almost a moot point. Sure, you could say sure with terms, but they've been offered a ceasefire. They said drop dead. So what choice does Israel have now? To pull back and let Hamas have a huge victory? No. Well, what I'm afraid of, though, is this is going to get bigger. Hezbollah could come in. Iran could get even more crazy than they are. See, this is what I'm a little worried about. War has a way of growing, not retreating. World War One. I've taught you this for years now. World War One began by accident. No one intended World War One to begin. But before long, millions of Germans and millions of English boys were decimated for no reason. And World War One, because of the League of Nations, led to World War Two. They stole territory from Germany. They made Germany the bad guy because they lost the war. They made them pay reparations and give up land from the Sudetenland and other places that led to the arise of Adolf Hitler. Do I have to tell you where that went? So war is not always the best solution. I didn't say it's always the best solution. It's sometimes necessary, though. And in Israel's case, let me ask you this. What would you have done? Okay, so let's take the bigger picture. You're a nice academic living in America, and you're sure that Israel has no right to exist. You're convinced that if Israel had never been created back in 1947 or 48, the Muslims would be at peace with their neighbors. So let me ask you a question. If that were the case, how do you explain the Muslims attacking Catholics in the Philippines? Again, is it because of Israel? How do you explain the Muslims attacking Hindus in India over Kashmir? How do you explain the Muslims killing Christians in Nigeria? Again, who is it, the Jews? This is the myopic insanity of the American academic left. Their narrative is Israel caused the Muslims to become agitated and rise up. And if it wasn't for Israel, there'd be peace on earth. Well, unfortunately for them, the argument doesn't hold water. There is no validity to that. None whatsoever. Now, I can tell you this. This is something you may not know. This is totally crazy. There's a sect of Jews, Orthodox Jews, called Satmar Hasids, mainly in New York and Brooklyn, who believe Israel shouldn't exist. They're on the side of the Palestinians. This you don't understand. I know you can't understand it. They have believed from the beginning that Zionism would bring down the death of the Jewish people. They thought it was a curse. I have to give you the whole picture. See, I don't think I'd be fair to the discussion. Given the global scope of my knowledge of the world and of history, and of religion, to not give you all of these facts. I can give you sort of a muted, one-sided view, which you've heard, or I can give you the broader picture. There's a very big picture out there that some of you, this is not your business, this is my business. I'm supposed to know the broader picture. I'm not supposed to be given a gold star for knowing it. And I gave it to you. There's a sect of Jews called the Satmar Hasids. They're different than the Lubavitch Hasids. The Lubavitch Hasids are certainly the opposite. They're all religious conservatives. They are very conservative in America, and they certainly support the state of Israel. The Satmar Hasids, which are the guys with the large side whiskers, the payas, if you see them in New York walking around, they wear fur hats, also a symbolic costume from 19th century Poland. I don't quite know what the fur hats are all about, but nevertheless, that's how you identify the difference. They're at war with each other. The Satmar Hasids are at war with the Lubavitch Hasids. So don't think all Jews are in solidarity on anything, incidentally. Don't make that assumption any more than Christians are. All I have to do is point out the troubles in Ireland to show you that not all Christians love each other. But let's go back to the bigger picture. Should Israel agree to a ceasefire? Well, I think we've covered that. I don't know how they can. I just don't know how they can. I mean, we can move on to another question, by the way. So let's take your calls and then move on to another. Oh, here, Al says yes. Al on WABC, go ahead, please.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I love your show. But when you say that Israel should take the ceasefire, what do you mean? Hamas keeps them refusing every time. You brought up a good question about Egypt. Egypt last week, they said that Hamas should agree to a ceasefire, right?
Yes.
They never loved Israel to begin with. Well, what was the whole reason why Egypt wanted them to have a ceasefire?
You're asking a bigger question, which is why is Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates on the side of Israel? Because that's what the actualities are. You're aware of that or not?
Yeah, I would say that.
No, I know it for a fact. This is why Israel's able to conduct this war for so many days. Because in the past, Egypt would have moved in by now to stop them. You know that.
Yeah, but also you
see, like in the past wars in Israel, they were short wars, 5-7 days. That was it. Then Egypt, Syria would have launched. They would have had a limited interchange with them, and there would have been a World Peace Council in the UN. That would have been the end of it. But this is the first time Egypt is on the side of Israel. So is Saudi Arabia. And there's a reason for that as well, and I think you know why.
I believe because you brought up in America, right, in the South, that we have a lot of that illegal immigrants, illegal aliens coming over our border. The whole reason why Egypt is because of their selfish ambition is that the Gazans are fleeing to Egypt.
No, let me explain to you. You're not following me. The reason Egypt is backing Israel, the reason Saudi Arabia is backing Israel, the reason the rulers of the United Arab Emirates are backing Israel is quite simple. Because if the radical crazy Young Turks, meaning the real head cutters, get control of their countries, they'll kill the royal family in Saudi Arabia. They will take over the country, including its nuclear stockpile. It's unthinkable. Egypt almost had the Muslim Brotherhood fanatics take over. And I have to remind you, it was Barack Obama and John McCain who wanted the Muslim Brotherhood to stay in power. Ask yourself why Barack Obama would have wanted the Muslim Brotherhood to stay in power in Egypt. Answer the question. Then maybe you'll come to understand what's really going on right in front of your nose. The man breaks our borders with Mexico. The country's being flooded with illegal aliens, many of whom are not children, but teenagers who are gangbangers, guys with beards and tattoos. And Obama does nothing about it but fundraise. And yet he's concerned about the sovereignty of Ukraine. Isn't that interesting? He lectures us on the sovereignty of the borders of Ukraine and has nothing to say about the sovereignty of our borders with Mexico. Same with Pelosi and the other members of that superb party of Americans called the Democrat Socialist Party of America. So we have a real problem here. We have an enemy within, many enemies within, enemies against our sovereignty. And then we have an administration that seems to be on the side of the wrong side of history, to put it in a nice way. So what do we do about this? Well, the answer is we do nothing. I certainly don't believe the U.S. should do a thing right now. And by staying out, we may be doing more. It's that simple. We're doing better that way. Connecticut, Barbara, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I want Israel to continue. They have to get rid of... I think all of Gaza should be blown to bits. These people teach their young children to hate the Jewish pig every morning. The Palestinians teach their children to hate every day. How can you have a neighbor and negotiate with someone that hates you and wants to kill you every day?
So what's the answer, to kill them?
I think at this point, yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen to what you're saying. You know, they want genocide, so you have to want genocide? That's the answer?
Something.
You see, I don't know the answer. The answer, my friend, is written in the wind. By the way, I just got news that the many of you have been demanding that my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, be put up on Amazon, just happened a minute ago. It is now up on Amazon. I'm not even heavily promoting it. It's too soon. It's in July. But I'm warning you, it's the end of July. This is my last nonfiction book. I'm warning you what is being planned by this government. You say, well, how do you know things like that? I don't know. It's called common sense and logic. If you look back at what they've been doing, you don't think this gang would not like to see an insurrection in this country to justify seizing your guns and declaring some form of martial law, locking up the enemies of the administration? Say, oh, don't be crazy. That can't happen. Well, one of Obama's heroes is Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln locked up, I think it was 15,000 opponents of his administration. Did you know that? Honest Abe locked up 15,000 American citizens. He eliminated habeas corpus. You say it can't happen here? Here's my answer. It has happened here. It has happened here, and it could happen again. And that's why I spent the last 2 years of my life writing Stop the Coming Civil War. And all I can say to you is if you want a copy, go to Amazon right now and pre-order one right now. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're asking the question, should Israel agree to a ceasefire? It's a simple question on the face of it, because that's what the world seems to want. We see only the death in the Gaza. We see the ugliness in the streets in Paris, London, Berlin, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Boston, and Denver. And do you believe that the faces of hatred that you see in the streets of your own city would defend the civilization that you are living in should they have the power? Do you actually think that the rabble in the streets of America who are saying kill Israel, blah, 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 would protect the treasures of the Metropolitan Museum in New York City if they had the power? Do you think that they would protect the women of America from those who would perform genital mutilation? Do you think that these people would cherish the symbols of the United States when right now they are in cahoots with the left who has dismantled our borders, language, and culture? And so if you actually think this is only about Israel and the disputed territories, you're wrong. Today it is Israel. Today Israel is fighting what appears to be a singular battle, but if they are defeated by being forced to withdraw too early, tomorrow these Muslim fanatics with their leftist friends will gut one of your cities. Let me tell you that. That's what's going to happen. And yet if you see these violent protesters in America or around the world, if you hear them screaming death to the Jews, you say, wait a minute, this is happening in my lifetime? We're seeing again Nazism rise up under the guise of something else? You know, when you hear death to a people, that's called genocide. So who's actually committing genocide in the world? It's the Muslims in Iraq committing genocide against Christians. Have you seen any riots in the streets of Berlin, London, Paris, San Francisco, or New York over the genocide being conducted against the Iraqi Christians? No, you haven't. Because it's always the other side that seems to scream about their victimhood. Well, this has to change, and it has to change quickly. And unfortunately for us, I will say that the virtual manhood of the West has been eviscerated. The manhood of the, it doesn't mean that there aren't manly men, great men, strong men, but the overall societal manliness of the West has been gutted by liberal Christianity and by liberalism in general. There is no warrior element in the Christian church at this time. There isn't. It just doesn't exist. It doesn't mean Christians can't be great warriors. As you can see, they are in Afghanistan, as they were in Iraq. Okay, it's two different things. But the religion itself has been uncoupled from this masculinity and the defense of itself. That's what I think. Let's go to a caller from Israel on the Internet. Phyllis, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. First, I want to tell you how much I love you, how important it is to hear somebody speak the truth. You're a real mensch. As far as the ceasefire, absolutely not.
Okay, but you have to fill in the blanks. You're saying no ceasefire. You're an Israeli living there right now. Why?
Why no ceasefire? Okay.
Yeah, you came and said no ceasefire. You dialed up on your computer from Israel. Why? Why no ceasefire? Wouldn't you like to see peace on earth?
Wouldn't we all? Look, you understand that this war is not about a piece of land. Their intention is to wipe us out. Every time we pull out, we go along with the ceasefire, they get bigger and stronger and build more tunnels. There is nobody to talk to. There is nothing to negotiate about. You can't negotiate, you know, your existence.
Okay, you make a good point, and thank you for calling me from a bunker in Israel. Here's a letter I just got from a fellow in the media who emails me, who said it's Rich Lieberman, and he got it from a friend in Israel. It's a long letter. And she says, everyone knows how it feels that they're walking through water and sad. We're all very sad in Israel. The ugliness, the venom, and sheer hatred you're seeing in Paris, London, Berlin, L.A., Boston, Denver. This is just the beginning. She says, we Jews are the canaries in the coal mine for all of humanity. Today they are throwing bricks at synagogues and smashing chairs saying, kill the Jews. Tomorrow it will be someone else. Do the French really think these people will protect and safeguard the treasures of the Louvre? Do Londoners really think these people will cherish the symbols of the British Empire? Does anyone really think this is only about Israel and the disputed territories? Today it is Israel, tomorrow it will be you. Maybe that's why everyone gets so disproportionately annoyed about this conflict. And she goes on. It goes on and on and on. And she says only when Hamas is disarmed, destroyed, disabled, and defeated can there be peace. Hamas, not the people of Gaza. I feel very sorry for them. Sorry that in their desperation, they allowed Hamas to fill the empty bedrooms next to their children's room with rockets. Sorry that their leaders have mansions and swimming pools and are sitting in air conditioning in another city.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back. You know, I play 50s rock and roll, 60s rock and roll. I harken back to a time in America when, despite all the flaws and the corruption, we knew who the president was, where he was born, where his loyalties lie. You could turn off the music. We knew we had someone in charge who would never, ever stab America in the back. A time when certain things were understood and well known. We knew who our allies were. We knew who our enemies were. Not today. Not today, because we have this incredible administration that seems to be on the wrong side of history, certainly gutting our borders, our language, and our culture in this country. He goes on trips. He locks the press out again and again and again. Even Politico is reporting it, that the so-called press corps is shocked that the charlatan would lock them out. I wonder what he's saying that they don't want him to hear. What an open administration this is. The real light of day of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. So now, as I wrote in my last book, many of you bought Trickle Down Tyranny, and one of the chief things I try to point out, I don't even have a copy on my desk, was he treats our enemies like friends and our friends like enemies. So he treats Israel like an enemy, as I have said to you. So Israel has to go it alone. Fortunately for Israel, they have new allies right now. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. They don't need America, really. Now, when they run out of artillery shells and they run out of ammunition, I don't know who they're going to turn to. They don't have the capacity to endlessly construct these things, but that's another story for another time. Let the quartermasters worry about it, not me. I want to continue with my letter from a person in Israel written to a guy, Rich Lieberman, who sent it to me, and she says, I feel bad for the people of Gaza. I feel sorry for them. Sorry they were misguided and elected these lunatics. Sorry that in their desperation they allowed Hamas to fill the empty bedrooms next to their children's room with rockets. Sorry that their leaders have mansions and swimming pools and are sitting in air conditioning in another city while they in Gaza are sweating and wondering where the roof over their houses went. Sorry that they have been brought up with no inkling of who Israelis are, nor what compromise is. She writes, defeating Hamas will be a big problem for the power brokers because shame and honor are all that matter in this part of the world. Honor in the Middle East does not come from whether your children are literate, how successful you are, how much money you make, how civilized your community is, nor how many paved roads you have, and whether or not you have garbage collection and recycling. Here in this part of the world, for Hamas, honor comes from getting revenge. For them, revenge is everything. For them, revenge is the only thing. Remember, we left Gaza. There was no blockade. They were free to build a model democracy. The first successful shining taste of the new proud Palestine. But they don't want that kind of success. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We will not be fooled again. We have nowhere else to go. And the rockets are not stopping. The folks in Ashkelon cannot shower, have a bowel movement, get more milk or walk a dog without wondering if they're taking their lives in their own hands. There is another Gaza underneath Gaza. Hamas could have built hundreds of schools, paved thousands of roads, built hundreds of kindergartens with the cement and iron they have used to build these underground bunkers and tunnels. And you wondered why Israel put a blockade on bringing building supplies into the Gaza Strip? These tunnels to hell are filled with ammunition. And no women or children, not a single elderly person, is brought to safety there. They want them on the street, on the roof, standing right behind, nice and close to the terrorists firing the rocket. Hamas has refused to let journalists out of Gaza. Why? They need them to take pictures and record the carefully staged piles of bloody children and women. If the journalists leave, they have lost the vehicle for distributing their bloody ad campaign. Hamas asked for ceasefire, and they broke it. They break every single one. Israel is setting up a massive field hospital to treat our enemies. From 8 p.m. on tonight, there will be a working maternity ward, an operating theater, a working hospital for our enemies. We are going to lose more boys. Last night we lost 13. With each day, we're going to lose more. But everyone here now understands this is a fight to the death. Did you hear that? This is from Israel. This is a fight to the death. It is them or us. We cannot compromise, and they don't want peace or to share or to negotiate. They want revenge, even if it means killing their own people. So we have to go in there and do things none of us want to do. But we have to. So this is why we are all so sad. Israelis want peace so badly, but we also desperately want to live. We love life, and we are not about to let anyone, let alone a bunch of deranged thugs, take it away from us. So yes, this is a fight to the death for both sides. Remember, if they win, you are next. If we win, those symbols of civilization that everyone takes so for granted will remain standing, and everyone will criticize and complain about disproportionate responses in war crimes and all other kinds of irrelevant nonsense. But secretly, I think everyone will be heaving a sigh of relief that the monsters in Gaza have been destroyed. That's from a friend in Israel sent to me on the Savage Nation. So yes to a ceasefire or no? WABC, Isaac, go ahead. Your opinion counts. What do you think?
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I believe you're a very holy soul, and you're the voice of good and reason. And the
well, I have many holes. I'll admit I have many holes in my soul, that's for sure.
And you're funny, too, so I could always use a laugh. My name means laugh in Hebrew. I believe that we should all get out of there. I have family and friends in Israel, and I love them dearly. And I don't go for this PC war where you throw leaflets and knock on doors or whatever. You either go in there and take care of business, or you get the hell out of there.
Wait, so you're saying what? The Israelis should withdraw because they're fighting a limited war?
That's right. It's not worth even one death. You know, my grandfather fought in 48. He came from Tunisia where the Arabs kicked out the Jews in Tunisia, so he went over to Israel. He fought. He got hit in the leg with a bullet, and he had to deal with that for the rest of his life. And I don't believe anybody in Israel should even take a bullet to the leg.
You know, you raise an interesting side note that most of my listeners are not aware of, and I think it's a good time to mention it. We hear about the Palestinians having been displaced by Jews in Israel. And we keep hearing about the law of return where the Arabs want to take Israel and turn it over to the Arabs because they stole it from them. That's the narrative. Well, when have the American people recently read about the 600,000 to 800,000 Jews driven out of Algeria, Morocco, Libya, and all of northern Africa, all of their homes and properties seized by the Arabs in 1948 when Israel was created? How many Americans know about that?
No, they don't.
Probably very few. There are many things in history that are worth knowing, and there are many things in history that must be known in order for people to survive. Unfortunately, in the age of Zuckerberg, I doubt very much that those on Facebook would do anything to put down their little device for 2 seconds. I don't really know how this is going to end, but I will say this. It's not for us to say. It's not our battle. It is not our battle. It's their battle. Yes, they may be on the front lines against radical Islam. But then God chose them for that, didn't he? If you want to look back on this, let's play this little philosophical game together. I have heard religious Jewish people say to me, when I would ask them, how could there be a God, a good God, that would let the Holocaust to have occurred? How could he let 6 million Jews and 9 million others be slaughtered by the Nazis? What kind of God would have done that? And then they've argued that the Holocaust was necessary for the creation of the State of Israel. I've heard that. All right, so now if that's your viewpoint, let's ask us, why was Israel allowed to exist altogether, I mean, in this modern age? Why was it allowed to be reconstructed and recreated? Let's put it to you that way. Certainly the Jewish presence has been well known in that area since biblical times. Forget the propaganda. Okay, but why did the Jewish people need a land of their own in 1948? Why? Why did God permit that to happen? I don't have an answer for you. I do know this. It's a blessing and a curse. So now Israel's on the front lines of hatred, not only by the radical Islamists, but by the radical left around the world. The communists hate them. The communists in America are stirring up most of the hatred in this country. They're the ones behind the Palestinian uprisings in London, Paris, Rome, wherever you go. It's the communists in cahoots with the Islamists. Never, ever forget that. Never forget that. And what's even more strange is that marching beside them are the radical lesbian feminists with their flag. Radical lesbian feminists marching beside Islamists? Why? It's women who are being mutilated wherever they take over. Well, I guess that's too much information for the average leftist to carry in their head when all it is blood that they have on their mind. So let's go back to the calls on the Savage Nation. Operational question, should Israel agree to a ceasefire? I mean, it's almost a moot point because they're not going to, and I don't think they can. And I guess they're going to have to fight until the tunnels are blown up. Here's a headline on the Drudge Report. Honduran president blames the USA for the border crisis. Did you hear this? See, she's been saying that they're not fleeing violence. She said that's a big lie. That's the lie of Barack Bulletproof Obama. Obama motorcade traps pregnant woman in labor. Did you hear about that one? The Imperial King was driving down one of the boulevards in L.A. The woman was in labor, and the Secret Service wouldn't let her cross the road because the great king did not yet arrive in his chariot. You don't believe that, huh? 855-400-7282. Meanwhile, in New York City, Governor Cuomo wants to know how many New Yorkers are gay and transvestite or transsexual, whatever. Can you believe this? Jacksonville, Florida on WBOB. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Don't think that Israel should end it yet. You've expanded the discussion, though, and I was just curious who you thought, who, when, and where you thought the spread of radical Islam is going to come to a halt.
When it will come to a halt? Never. The answer is never. They're being taught hatred from the cradle to the grave. They not only hate Jews, they hate Christians, and they hate the West. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
They hate modernity. They want to live in a thousand-year-old society where women are nothing but slaves and chattel. Go explain that to me, why an Arab woman would want to live like that. Explain to me why a modern Turkish woman, Turkey was the first nation, by the way, to give women the right to vote. Did you know that? Before America. And now Turkey is turning retrograde under Erdogan. It's turning back to an Islamist state right in front of our eyes. I don't have the answer for you. Only God knows, not me. Headline, Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez criticized United States lawmakers for creating ambiguity over the border laws during the fight for immigration reform. She said they have created it. You hear? So there it is. And there's Pelosi in cahoots with her, trying to grant amnesty to these people coming in who are all going to be wards of the state. Can anyone listening to this show explain to me why you would invite so many wards of the state into a nation that's already bankrupt? Explain to me why a nation would bring in tens of thousands of illiterate, poor people. Why? Tell me why you would do that, unless you were Barack Obama, who wanted a larger welfare state. So here is a man who tells the Ukrainians they have a right to their sovereignty, tells the Russians to get out and give back the land that they occupied, They should respect the sovereignty of Ukraine, and he doesn't even respect the sovereignty of America. Go figure. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It's mind-blowing. I mean, it is mind-blowing, frankly. I just received pictures that no one's ever been published. I'm almost speechless from what I just got. These are pictures of the actual tunnels that the Palestinians have been building, including pictures of them building them. I had no idea that they were this extensive. Electrical lines, sewer lines. It's an underground city that was built with one purpose, which was to bring in rockets and weapons. All of this money could have been spent building a new city, a new Jerusalem. A citadel for the world to see. If the Palestinians wanted peace, what is it with this? Can anyone explain to me what it is with this religion that inculcates such hatred in people's minds? I've never seen anything like it. How can you call it a religion if it teaches people from the time they're a child to hate and kill their neighbor? Is that a religion? To me, religion always meant teaching people peace. That, you always said religion to me. I didn't know what the religion was. You always thought of people who talked about no war, no fighting, just peace. And yet here they had a chance with all this money that was pouring in from Saudi Arabia and God knows elsewhere, probably their friends in America, and London, France. They could have built a new Jerusalem and they could have said to the world, look what we created. We are Palestinians. We are peace loving. Look what we created. We want the West Bank to create another beautiful world here that the world will be proud of. We want to produce the next generation of doctors and scientists and engineers and software engineers. We want to show the world what we, the Palestinians, can do. And instead, they take these billions of dollars and build a tunnel of hate, a tunnel of death, a tunnel of war, a tunnel of murder, a tunnel of genocide. So how do you expect the Israelis to engage in a ceasefire? How do you expect them to engage in a ceasefire with such biblical maniacs? WABC Saul, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. I've been listening to you. First of all, God bless you, and blessed are those who bless Israel, cursed are those who curse. This is not a turf war. This is not a battle for their little piece of land there. One thing has to be clear, and I've been to Israel numerous times. I've stayed there. I've spoken to people there. My wife served in the military there, matter of fact. And I'll tell you like this, simply put, this is a war of light against darkness, good against evil. At the end of the day, if Israel loses, the rest of the world is doomed. This is not a joke here. This is not a normal clan that's preaching peace or trying to be an independent state. It's nonsense. It's a bunch of BS, if you ask me. As far as I'm concerned, and I'm very pro-peace, and I want to see the world grow, but the way things are going, and unfortunately our administration is not really doing anything about it.
You made your main point. Unfortunately, we're short on time. I'm not trying to cut you off. I heard you. It was one from the heart, and I think we've all made the same point. While I've asked, should Israel accept the ceasefire, it was almost a moot point, because they can't. It's that simple. Moreover, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and UAE are on their side. This is the first time in Israel's history that the Arab nations of this magnitude are on their side. It's never happened before. Because if they were not on their side, it would have been over already. So you have to understand that the Egyptians, Saudis, and UAE leaders know what's at stake. God bless America. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Sides have been chosen, make no mistake about it. Either you're on the side of Israel or you're on the side of your own death. It's that simple. You can't be on both sides and say it's a terrible thing. I mean, we'd all like to see the war to end, but when you have people who are out to destroy you and push you into the sea, what do you want them to do? You want them to pack their little valises and walk into the concentration camps again? No. On the other hand, you want the Palestinians to be pushed into the sea? No. Then ask yourself why the Palestinians took billions of dollars in aid from around the world, and over the last number of years, instead of building hospitals and museums and whatever, hotels, apartment complexes, they built an underground city of concrete with electrical conduits, with sewage to run trucks through and ammunition. Why? Because they're out to destroy Israel. So unless you're in favor of destroying Israel, you can't be on the side of the Palestinians, meaning Hamas. It's that simple. It's as simple as that. It's either on this side or on that side. It's a biblical war. And as far as I can tell, by what I see going on in other parts of the world, Israel's not alone. Sure, the world is focused on what's going on in Israel. You're not seeing pictures coming out of Mosul where the Christians are being driven out by your friends, the Islamists. Sure, you're not seeing the pictures of the churches burning to the ground because the vermin in AP won't show you those pictures. The vermin in AP will only show you the Palestinian children. God bless their souls. But the vermin in the media will not show you the churches on fire in Iraq. The vermin in the media will not show you the dead Hindus in Kashmir. The vermin in the media will not show you the long-time war of insurgency by Muslims in the Philippines where Catholics are dying to defend their country. No, they will not show you what's going on in Nigeria. And whatever happened to the missing girls, the Christian girls that you have forgotten, Michelle Obama? Oh, yes, remember hashtag the missing girls? Well, where are the missing girls? The ones kidnapped by your Islamist friends. The Christian girls kidnapped by your hashtag Islamist friends, Mrs. Obama. Have you forgotten that cause? You're now on to a cause against French fries? So Israel is not alone. It is only alone in the sense that the world has turned on it. Israel's facing what other people are facing in the world, but you wouldn't know it. And so, therefore, you have to take sides. The battle lines are drawn. It's that simple. And so I'm just going to take some calls and try to have a reasonable discussion. And the rest will be what we have no control over what's going to happen anyway. Let's go to Jacksonville, Florida, RC on WBOB. What's your point? Make it, please.
Thank you, Michael. Yesterday you made a comment that blew my mind. You said this battle needs the soul of Abraham and the heart of a soldier. And forgive me for being direct, but I'm from the Bronx like you, so I'll be direct. You were almost right. This war was started with the grandson of Abraham, Jacob, and Esau, the two grandsons, two twins. Esau had a grandson by the name of Amalek, who the Jews are commanded to pray against every year for the last 3,500 years. In the book of Exodus, it said the Lord would have war with Amalek from generation to generation. This is a very old war. King Saul was told to wipe out the Amalekites, men, women, and children. He disobeyed. The bloodline through King Agag spread throughout the whole world. They're fighting Amalek today. And if they don't wipe them out...
Wipe them out? You mean nuke them and annihilate them? You're not calling for a genocide, I hope, are you?
This is in the Bible.
Look, I'm not a biblical literalist, R.C., because if I were a biblical literalist, virtually everyone I know, including myself, would have been smote by now and killed for some sin.
Watch out with the
ancient Hebrew Bible, because there are many things in the ancient Hebrew Bible that we cannot take literally. I mean, that's as simple as that. I thank you for the call. See, this is the problem with literalists. If you read Leviticus, everyone you know would be dead. Anyone who masturbates would be dead. You'd be condemned to death. No, you can laugh all you want. I mean, I've read the Bible cover to cover many times. there are more Post-its in my Bible than the average liberal's history book. Maybe I should sell this on eBay and make the donation. Michael Savage's Bible. That would bring a big buck. No, it's going in my Savage library. So I'm not a biblical literalist, because if I were, as I say, I and everyone I know would be dead. We would have been smote by now. The craziness in the Bible, too, by the way. There's a lot of madness in there, too. So let's put that aside. Let's get real. Let's live in the century we're living in. Hamas exists for one reason only, and that's to destroy the Jews. And after the Jews, they'll destroy the Christians. Their cousins in Iraq are killing the Christians now. So what more do you need to know? Tell me what more you need to know. If Hamas's cousins in ISIS are killing Christians in Iraq, what more do you need to know? What you're saying is, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in anything, so they won't touch me. I just want to dance around the golden calf. I live in Beverly Hills. I go to nightclubs. Let them all kill each other. I don't care. It doesn't affect me. They won't touch me because I'm not on either side. Well, you can say that all you want, but your nightclubs will be blown up. I mean, I don't think you understand what's really at stake. People don't really want to face this down. And I don't blame you, to be honest with you. It's summertime. You don't want to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning in a cold sweat, do you? You don't want to be waking up 3 o'clock in the morning asking, what kind of president is this that locks out the press and raises money while the world is burning? What kind of president is this that seems to be on the wrong side of everything? You don't want to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning like I do every night, sweating on a pillow saying, what happened to my country? My borders are being overrun. You don't want to wake up in the middle of the night like I do, do you? So, you know, keep dancing around the golden calf. That's my prescription for happiness. WMAL in Washington, D.C. John, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you very much. First off, I'm glad Hannity is off because you're a pleasure to listen to. Much better.
I'm glad you said it because I didn't. I never mentioned his name anymore.
But I wanted to say my point by quoting a CNN article in 2006 where our president peanut farmer, Carter, was the monitor of their diplomatic or their democratic election. And there he basically says over there that, you know, let's give Hamas another chance. And my point is that I feel that a lot of the citizens of Gaza are responsible, and they have blood on their hands, and that point is not emphasized. You pointed to that in your letter from that Israeli friend of yours, that they elected these folks. I think there's a point that never gets emphasized here.
We elected Obama. I didn't vote for this administration. I didn't vote for this regime, but I have to live with it. You can blame me for Obama and what he's doing to the world, but you shouldn't. There were many in Germany who voted against Hitler. They hated him, and yet they got punished along with the Germans who voted for him. That's the problem with the world that we live in. So it doesn't make any sense who elected him, who didn't elect him. The fact of the matter is the leaders of Hamas are bloodthirsty murderers. That's all. And by the way, where are the missing girls? Let me bring it up again. I think I'm the only one in America who remembers the hashtag from the First Lady, Find Our Missing Girls. So hashtag Find Our Missing Girls. The ones kidnapped by Muslims, the cousins of Hamas. The cousins of Hamas in Nigeria have kidnapped those girls. The cousins of Hamas are burning churches and killing Christians in Iraq. The cousins of Hamas are fighting Hindus along the border with Kashmir in India. The cousins of Hamas are ordering women in Iraqi city to undergo genital mutilation. Yes, attention women. Attention women. The jihadis have ordered women in Iraqi city to undergo genital mutilation. That would be 4 million females between the ages of 11 to 46 are required now to have their genitals mutilated by these throwbacks. And now you wonder what's been going on in Afghanistan and what's been going on in Iraq. Now you wonder what's going on in the world. Well, I'll help you understand it. But often you should understand that you don't even want to hear it. The Islamic State militants took control of Mosul in June because Obama kicked our troops out. And they have created a caliphate. And the first thing they did is they want to mutilate the women. Is that a religion that you think is a religion that the world should emulate? To line up 4 million women and destroy their genitals? It's not even in the Quran, for God's sakes. And these people are being supported by liberals in America. By the way, a plane carrying 116 crashed in Africa. Do we know if that was terrorism? We wouldn't know. Because apparently Obama does not need a war in Africa. He needs one in Ukraine. We don't know whether it was shot down, whether it fell down. We do know that no one rushed the judgment on the plane in Africa because there's no gain for that. The only gain is to say that Obama Putin did it, because there's a lot of gain to be stealing land from Russia. There's a tremendous gain to bringing NATO to the borders of Russia. So therefore, the minute a plane goes down there, you say Russia did it, if you're crazy McCain or Obama. But the Air Algeria flight AH-5017 went off the radar and disappeared. Who brought it down? I don't know who brought it down. Was it an accident? We don't know. But no one rushed to judgment to say that someone did it. Why? Well, I don't know why. You can figure it out. It's another plane crash. Another plane crash right after the Malaysia Airlines plane was downed over Ukraine last week. Right after a Transasia Airways crashed off Taiwan during a thunderstorm this Wednesday. Right after Obama punished Israel by canceling all flights to Tel Aviv due to the war in Gaza. 855-407-282. WABC Stephen from New York City. Go ahead, please.
Mike, Israel's greatest enemy is not Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, or the Muslim Brotherhood that surrounds it. Israel's greatest enemy is the American Jewish voter. And thanks to the American Jews, Israel's in the peril that it's never been in before. Did you ever think, Mike, after 2,000 years of persecution and suffering around the world, the Jewish people would turn on each other? Millions of Jews in the U.S. have betrayed their brethren Israel at the voting polls. It's a disgrace. And when Saul...
Well, yes, I would have believed it, because if you read the Bible, we're going to go through this break, Neil, and I'll cut a little later and stay on. Let me explain to you. If you look back to the period when Jesus was judged, remember, Jesus was a Jewish rabbi, you know that, correct? So let's take it step by step. He was accused of being a radical, a rebel, a troublemaker, a talk show host. And he was judged not by his peers, but by the Sanhedrin. Do you know who the Sanhedrin was? Or what the Sanhedrin was?
Two members of the Sanhedrin. Christianity is messianic.
Well, what is this? What was the Sanhedrin? You know what it was, right?
No, they judged them, correct.
So it was a series of judges, but they were Jewish judges, correct?
Right.
Was it a unanimous decision against Jesus? No, it was not. It was like a 7-5. That was the Supreme Court. So there was a split within the Jewish people even then to condemn those who stood up to authority. What I'm saying is there has always been a split in all peoples going back a very long time. But, you know, if you want to carry the argument in a more rational manner, there's a split in the Muslim world right now. That's how you see Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the UAE on the side of Israel. They're all Muslims. They don't want ISIS or the Hamas to win. So let's count our blessings. Let's count our blessings and recognize that while the American liberal Jew is in fact suicidal on every level, Israel itself has not yet decided to commit suicide. It's that simple. WJR Ricardo, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
It's real simple. You don't got to know history or reason or logic. It's a matter of self-defense. You don't even got to take a poll on what to do. It's a question of do or die.
You mean Israel must just simply fight or die?
Yeah. If someone's trying to kill you, then you're justified under self-defense.
I agree with you 100%. I don't take the other side. Believe me, I hear it. And you're a man who understands reality. It's just that simple. It was said another way. If a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, put one in his mother's house first. That was George Orwell. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. And we're talking about the very sad situation emerging in the Middle East, where it's a war unlike any other war in Israel's history. Why? Because for the first time in the history of the Jewish state, they have allies, albeit silent allies, in the form of Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and in the UAE. And I don't think the average American understands this. Most of Israel's wars have been very limited in time. And that's because once they started, the UN or other factors stepped in and brokered a peace between the major powers. Here, the major powers want Hamas crushed like a bug, wiped out once and for all, because Hamas is a threat to their own nations. Remember, they're not limited in their desire to destroy the Jewish state. Make no mistake about it. They want to destroy the nation of Egypt. And was it not for the people of Egypt themselves and the army, they would have succeeded. And John McCain, of course, went over there and wanted the equivalent of Hamas, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, which is their cousins, to prevail in Egypt. You didn't know that. Obama was on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood. Go figure. How could that be? Such a wonderful, humane man, the first man of color in the White House. How could he have been on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood? You would have thought he would have had a greater sense of destiny and history and humanity. But no, he was on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood. And he's on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood in form of the rebels in Syria, wherever you turn. So that's why I not so jokingly say that it's the Muslim sisterhood inside the White House that's running this country. You say, I don't be crazy. All right, so I won't be crazy. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Many of you never heard about Valerie Jarrett, nor her father and her father's connections. Many of you don't know that there are things going on in the U.S. military that cannot be explained other than trying to figure out retroactively who might be making these decisions against the interests of America. As William Blake wrote, and I learned through Aldous Huxley's writings, life must be lived forward, but can only be understood backwards. Looking backwards, I would say that my not-so-comedic analogy of the Muslim sisterhood running America is not so crazy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Israel's involved in a war. This is no longer an incursion. This is an absolute war. Now, it is, in a way, a one-sided war. Let's be clear. I mean, let's not, you know, pretend it isn't. They have an air force. They have tanks. The progenitors of the war are the Palestinians, as you well know. You say, oh, they're only defending. You can say what you want. They've been firing rockets into a sovereign nation. There's only so long a nation could take it until they have to fight back. So they're hitting with almost everything they have. Not everything, by the way, that they have. And they are killing because of various reasons. Civilians are getting killed. Some because they're in the way of fire, some because they're hidden by the Palestinians, some accidentally being killed. But the number of civilians being killed are pretty high, incidentally. So don't be so sanguine about it and say, no, they shouldn't agree to a ceasefire. Now, there should be terms for a ceasefire, in my opinion. The number one term is that Egypt goes in and cleans out the rockets and blows up the underground tunnels. That would be the only terms upon which Israel can accept a ceasefire. It would be clear. The Palestinians do not want a ceasefire. Yes, they go on MS Most Naughty Nonsense by Chicks and say that they want a ceasefire, but they've turned it down every time. Listen, for example, to clip number 12.
I think there are intensive efforts being undertaken right now by different parties, including President Abbas, in coordination with the Secretary of State, Egypt, and other regional players. Israel has intensified its attacks against the Gaza Strip over the last week. So far, 735 Palestinians have been killed, 4,500 wounded, including 160 children, 90 women, elderly. 82% of the casualties are civilians. So Israeli actions and excessive use of force is not contributing positively to the efforts to reach a ceasefire.
All right, so let's say it's lower than that in the numbers. The fact of the matter is there's a war going on, and the way to stop the war is for the Palestinians to say they'll cease the rocket fire and give up their weapons, and they'll come to the negotiating table, but they're unwilling to do that. So when I say to you, should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire, I didn't say give up. I mean, immediate ceasefire with terms. How long can this go on? How many civilians dying would be a point at which they have to stop anyway? I mean, there's going to come a point at which they're just going to have to stop no matter what you may think. And that's what's going to happen. And no matter what you may think, the world being as distorted as it is, the world being as hateful of the United States and Israel and of Jewish people in general, is already, no matter what Israel does, they're wrong. defend themselves, they're wrong. Not defend themselves, they're wrong. So they can't win. So they have to make these determinations for themselves. The question is, would Egypt go in, send in their men to take out the rocket launching sites, remove the rockets, and blow up the underground city that they built? This is very much, by what I'm reading, equivalent to what the North Vietnamese built in Vietnam. I don't know who advised them on this, but apparently they have an entire underground city ranging from Gaza through to Israel under the sand. And it's very much like the tunnel war in Vietnam, by what I'm reading. In order to get rid of that ants nest down there, you have to blow up the tunnels. And unless they do that, they're only going to be back tomorrow, you know. I have some wonderful sound for you, including the warmonger maniac McCain looking to start World War III, like Khomeini, in clip three. Let's play clip three of John McCain.
First of all, we should lead on sector sanctions. Second of all, the president would be saying exactly what I just told you, that this is the fault of Vladimir Putin, and Vladimir Putin will be held responsible. That should be his opening statement comment, instead of, well, maybe they have to clear it up.
So even though the U.S. government says there's no evidence that Russia shot down the Malaysian airplane, this lunatic, he's a front for the military-industrial complex, if he even knows what he's doing. I'm not sure that McCain is sane, number one. I mean, I'm talking the truth to you. I'm giving you one man's opinion. I personally think he's as deranged as they come. I think he's crazy. That's number one. I think someone gives him scripts like the Manchurian Candidate to read. I don't know who that would be. I can only guess those who would benefit from a war would be only one group. That would be the military-industrial complex. It's that simple. And to explain everything he's been doing. He could also be, in my opinion, brainwashed by the Muslim Sisterhood. That would explain what he's been doing ever since he went to Egypt and tried to maintain control by the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt against the will of the Egyptian people. So it's possible John McCain is either completely brainwashed, as in the movie The Manchurian Candidate, or stupid, or in the pay of several organizations, because for a U.S. senator to keep banging the war drums like this is insane, totally insane. So now listen to the rest of this, clips 14 and 15 from Insane McCain on The Savage Nation.
They have to clear it up because they caused it. And so the point here is that Vladimir Putin is literally getting away with murder. And I mean literally, and we are doing very little in response. The next thing we ought to do too, by the way, give weapons to the Ukrainians so they can defend themselves. You know, people are stunned when I tell them we have refused to give Ukrainians weapons to defend themselves while their country is being dismembered and invaded.
Now, if I wake up tomorrow and John McCain says we should give jet planes to Palestinians in Gaza, I wouldn't be surprised. Because he could say that we are refusing to give the Palestinians weapons to defend themselves while their country is being dismembered and invaded. I'd be the same token. And it would be good for business when you think about it. Think of all the contracts from McDonnell Douglas and, you know, I mean, there'd be a lot of money in it for whoever he works for. So it's a crazy world, and that's why I said to you it's affecting me personally. I'm eating later and I'm eating more. I'm eating later and eating more meat. I'm drinking more and I'm sleeping more. No, actually getting up earlier. I have no questions for you except this one. Should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire, yes or no? 855-407-282. Should Israel agree to an immediate ceasefire? I mean, the Muslim Sisterhood is so out of control, they're naked about it. Supporting Hamas, giving back weapons, saying they didn't do it. I mean, the Muslim Sisterhood in America has imposed sanctions on Russia and Israel, as you know. Originally, they canceled all flights to Israel, so-called, for the safety of the passengers. I pointed that out before anyone else. And by the way, I take my hat off to Mayor Soderbergh. That Bloomberg would fly there in the midst of this gave me a new respect. If only the guy would continue to be, let us say, dignified and talk about stately things instead of soda, I would respect him even more. But nevertheless, that's what's going on. The Muslim Sisterhood seems to be running America. And if you talk about the shootdown of the plane, we have still not gotten the tapes of air traffic control. They will not release them. And the only thing that will put to rest the conspiracy theories ranging all over the Middle East and all over America amongst intellectual circles, by the way, I'm not talking about the average moron out there. I'm talking about people who know what's going on, fighter pilots who fly in the Middle East. I'm getting a little, let us say, I can't tell you who I got this from. This is from a fighter pilot who flies in the Ukraine in that area, and I'll read you what he wrote. He says, I have followed the whole conflict from day one when the Russians took over blank air base. The bottom line is this. Ukraine has resources and the U.S. wants them. And it's also useful to push the NATO borders right up to Russia as it negates the natural barrier of the Carpathian mountain range. See a map and you realize how hard it would be for NATO to roll a ground war out of present borders. Putin is not the bad guy here, he writes. Yes, he was set up to some extent, but he is playing his chess game very well. He writes, I predict he will enter East Ukraine on humanitarian grounds, as it's unacceptable for the illegal Kiev fascists, this guy says that's what they are, period, to simply shell Donetsk City and cause mass casualties. MH17 was a clear false flag, he writes. And he says, I have tons of intelligence on this, but I cannot release any of it. The U.S. and NATO are trying to kickstart a major war to weaken Russia's economy, and Putin will not take the bait. I could go on, he writes, but better one ignores the amateur propaganda of the U.S. MSM and even most U.K. and EU MSM. So Putin is now Rasputin. Putin is the new enemy. Putin is now the new enemy not only of the Muslim sisterhood, which apparently runs through the White House, but also the brotherhood that runs through the media. And I'm saying, wait a minute, we don't know who did it. The only one to lose by this is Russia. The only one to have gained by this is Kiev. So you have to say to yourself, wait a minute, could it be that the operatives in Kiev, the so-called good Ukrainians, put on uniforms, used weaponry of the enemy in order to neutralize the enemy, the way Hamas did with Israel? I'm not saying they did. I'm not saying they didn't. I have no way of knowing who shot the airliner down. But I'm not going to rush to judgment with all of the others who were saying Russia did it and we should go basically to war with them. If you start screaming about sanctions and more sanctions, you close the banks to them, which is some of the nuts like this walrus, Wahlberg is doing, whatever his name is, Bolton, supposed to know him. No one knows who he is. He's a miserable, out-of-work neocon. He was a U.S. ambassador under Bush. He has no job other than to talk on Fox News. And he's saying it's clearly Russia's fault, but it gets worse. Listen to what this nut is saying in clip 9.
You have to look at this strategically. I would begin to bring Ukraine into the NATO alliance. It's more than just with weapons. I go back to building a national missile defense system for the United States. This is to show Russia that they cannot act with impunity. And if people want sanctions, let's talk real sanctions, not these pinpricks that we've been engaged in. Let's bar all Russian financial institutions from any participation in American financial markets. That's a sanction.
Listen, moron, let me explain what would happen. If you were to bar all Russian financial institutions from any participation in American financial markets, why don't you think through the consequences? I realize that a government agent like you has never had to work for a living, so you don't really understand business. You don't understand the interconnectivity of business today, do you? Because you're still operating from the point of view of being a government worker who collects a government check and has a government pension. But if you were to bar all Russian financial institutions from participating in American financial markets, have you thought through what might happen? Well, let's go back in time. World War II was started when Japan was not permitted to get oil and its economy was going to stall. What did Japan do? It invaded Manchuria for oil. Did Japan want to invade Manchuria? It did not want to invade Manchuria. It was forced into invading Manchuria for oil because the same type of rhetoric said, let's stop Japan from getting oil. Well, Japan needed the oil, so it took the oil from Manchuria. That basically set off World War II. We all know about the attack on Pearl Harbor, but that followed the invasion of Manchuria. It was an economic move that drove Japan into that position. So be very careful, Mr. Bolton, in speaking way beyond your pay level, because you don't know what the heck you're talking about. Because if you do impose such sanctions, banking sanctions on Russia, you're going to drive Russia into an act you may not really want. It's called unintended consequences. Again, that's something they didn't teach at Harvard. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Okay, here we are, coming to the end of hour number three on the Savage Nation for Thursday, July 24th, 2014. The big news, of course, is that the president has locked out the press once again. He went to the West Coast to meet top donors, and he said no press allowed. I'll let you decide whether you're living in a democracy or a hypocrisy. To me, it's a hip-hopocracy. That's what we're living in. But nevertheless, the fact of the matter is, it's getting worse by the day. In fact, whether you know it or not, do you know what happened yesterday in L.A. when the president landed for yet another boondoggle fundraiser in the middle of the world burning? Did you hear what happened? The Obama motorcade trapped the pregnant woman in labor. They would not let her cross the street because the king was driving by in his bulletproof limousine. Isn't it great to be in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, huh? Yeah, it sure is. Meanwhile, in New York, Governor Cuomo wants to know how many New Yorkers are gay and transvestites or something to see if he can send more money their way. A general says Russia and China could use lasers and nukes to cripple America in space. Oh, really? Meanwhile, out of the religion of peace, the supreme leader of Iran says the only solution is the destruction of the Jewish state, the destruction of Israel, and that the armed confrontation in Gaza must expand. That's what he's calling for. In other words, a wider war. Hezbollah may join Hamas. Did you hear this? Unbelievable to me. It's getting crazier by the minute. By the minute it's getting crazier. This is the Savage Nation. Let's see what else is in the news. Oh, here's more news. Obama motorcade trapped a pregnant woman in labor. Here's another news story. The Obama motorcade trapped a pregnant woman in labor. Let's go to some other news. Here's another news story. Oh, the Obama motorcade trapped a woman in labor. They wouldn't let her cross the street. Let's go to the next story. Obama was on the West Coast for a fundraiser. Not only did he lock out the press, but he would not let a pregnant woman cross the street to get into the hospital. Let's go on to the next story. The war is going on between Israel and the Islamist throwbacks, and the world is turned against Israel because John Kerry Ketchup failed. Actually, what can you do? He can't change anything. Meanwhile, the head of ISIS, the Islamic maniacs who are killing Christians and burning churches, have now come out saying that all women over the age of 14 must have clitorectomies. And not one word from the National Organization for Women. Could you believe this? The head of ISIS said he's coming for you, Barack Obama. That's a threat, and we're doing nothing. Norway faces imminent concrete threat from jihadists linked to fighters in Syria. The ACLU might sue a city for rejecting an illegal alien child shelter. I say, deport everyone in the ACLU. How's that? We're going to talk again with you again about the MH17 cover-up. We still think something's wrong because the conflict in Ukraine from day one doesn't make sense. We know that the United States and the EU wants the resources in the Ukraine. We also know that the EU wants to push NATO borders right up to Russia, as this will negate the natural barrier of the Carpathian mountain range. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I don't believe Putin is the bad guy here. I believe the bad guys are in the EU and the United States of America. Something is so wrong. I believe U.S. and NATO are trying to kickstart a major war to weaken Russia's economy, but I don't think Putin will take that bait. Did you hear what I just said to you? Something is very wrong with this picture. Meanwhile, in the United States, one of our top admirals says he's open to the idea of giving the Chinese Navy a tour of our most advanced carrier. In past days, he would have been arrested for sedition. Today, he's celebrated as a humanitarian open naval officer. Well, all I can say is this. If you like what you hear on the Savage Nation, you can't get enough of it. When I go off the air, you go into a shock. You go into, what am I going to do now? Sign up for the Savage Nation's free daily newsletter clicking on the site on michaelsavage.com, just on the back bottom of the site. You get the free newsletter 3 times a week. Comes from me. Costs you nothing. And here's the last breaking news of the day. Obama locked out a pregnant woman in L.A. That's right. The king was passing by in his car. She was pregnant, trying to get across the boulevard to the hospital. The Secret Service said, "Niet, sit at a bus stop." There's the man who loves women, Barack Obama, a man for all seasons. Well, thanks for giving me 15 minutes on the Savage Nation, and God bless America.